After a jam-packed week in the National Lacrosse League, there's only one place to be. You're listening to NLL Tonight with Andy McNamara and Carlin Yang.
The Toronto Rock clinch a playoff spot, and Dan Dawson sets an NLL record. Welcome to Week 15 on the NLL Tonight. Andy McNamara with Carlin Gay. Follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81 and at Carlin Gay. Email us to NLLtonight@NLL.com. Carlin, we are joined today by lacrosse royalty,
yes,
John Grant Jr.
Can't wait.
Good old JR.
Can't wait for that.
The Jr. He's on the show.
The man and his 98 points in tow.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. And our producer, Sace, is working the phones now to try to get Dan Dawson. He is working the
night
shift to see if we can get Dan Dawson, who did set the single season record in assist breaking, his own record at 75, and an astounding accomplishment
if
for Dan
Sace
Dawson.
If Sace doesn't get him, he's out.
We're gonna.
He's out.
Are we gonna have a, Vince McMahon style firing on the air?
A Vince McMahon Donald Trump style.
I like it. Let's do it. We'll pull up our Donald Trump skills. Co-winners of the month, players of the month, Garrett Billings and our guest, John Grant Jr.
Deserved for Garrett Billings. He's been playing incredible.
Outstanding.
Incredible.
Outstanding for Garrett Billings, lighting it up and really leading the Toronto Rock. And we can start there, Carlin, with the now 7-6 Toronto Rock heading in to the 10-3 Colorado Mammoth. Toronto 7-6 and clinching a playoff spot with their 12-8 victory over Edmonton on Saturday.
Three straight, if I'm not wrong.
You're right, my friend.
And the only change they made since that three straight victory, or three straight wins in a row.
Yep.
Nick Rose.
Nick kissed by a Rose in net.
And he was on fire on Saturday night.
Wow. And Carlin, you know what? I will give Mr. Rose his credit, because not only did he win the first couple.
First of all, how many times did you say kissed by a Rose during the broadcast?
I said it one time.
One time.
One time on the NLL network. But Nick Rose.
36
Nick Rose,
saves on 44 shots.
Incredible.
You should have said it more than once.
Incredible. Nick Rose, he's proven me wrong. He's proven critics wrong.
Me
to
too.
Get rid of an all-star, Carlin, in Matt Roy. Now, yes, he was up and down, but you got rid of an all-star for a guy whose record coming into the Toronto Rock was one win and one loss.
Yeah.
And was a third-round pick. Nick Rose. He has that, and seeing him in net for the first time in person, he's stout, he's stocky, he has that low center of gravity, and he doesn't do anything fancy,
plays
but
the angles well.
He gets the job done.
He's only allowed 14 goals in the last three victories for Toronto. The man is getting the job done. But Toronto's also playing a lot better in front of him than they were Matt Roich.
I think, Carlin, it's about attitude, it's about perception. Nick Rose in the three games has not allowed double-digit scoring. What goaltender can you say in the National Lacrosse League has done that consistently in three straight games? It's early in his career here, but
very early.
It's absolutely incredible.
The pool and wall has been pretty good in Calgary, though.
The pool and wall has been good. Of course, Aaron Bold, Carlin, to see in person at the end of the first half. Remember, the Rush went up 2-0 early.
They did.
Bold
early.
Was screaming at his teammates heading into the locker room at the half. They just fell apart in front of them, and that's a big reason why the Edmonton Rush.
Yeah, they went up 2-0 early, and then they went into the locker room down 8-3. It was just like that.
Yeah, and it was pretty quick. Garrett Billings, going back to last week, Carlin, he was in an NLL record, all 15 goals Garrett Billings was in on, and he was in on the first three in this game too.
He hasn't scored fewer than 7 points since March 3rd, and that's a loss to Washington.
Yeah.
The man has been on fire.
Garrett Billings, team MVP, without a shadow of a doubt. And not only that, Carlin, but he stepped up when Blaine Manning went down, who made his return and got a goal and an assist, picking up his 800th point. So congratulations, Blaine Manning.
Well, first of all, congratulations on coming back. That's a broken collarbone. The man has toughness.
Well, out for 12 weeks, 10 games, and Blaine Manning, just wait, Carlin. If Manning can get back into form, he's 3 games left before the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What a time to come back. And now you throw in a relatively healthy Colin Doyle, healthy Josh Sanderson, Billings, Manning. The Rock are getting right at the perfect time of year.
That's what championship teams do, championship caliber teams do. And Coach Troy accordingly said it best. They were booed off of their home floor the last time they were at home. They were 4-6 then. 3 games now. They're 7-6 at the top of the Eastern Division. Clinched a playoff berth. Now they're just waiting to lock up that home playoff game.
And that's really it.
But Nick, then again, they did beat Edmonton, so let's not go crazy.
that has been the difference. Nick Rose, the negativity in the locker room of Roick is gone. So, hey, Toronto's rolling. They are heading in,
Stop.
Though.
We didn't say negativity about Roick in the locker room. We don't know
listen,
that.
I heard
speculating.
I heard some inside information.
You're speculating.
Inside information this week that Matt Roick had negative influence and the players were negative around Matt Roick because of his attitude.
Not in the public.
I heard it.
Not in the public.
I heard it.
They were negative towards him in the public. Watch your back, Nick. Watch your back.
They're coming for you. Okay, so heading into the Pepsi Center in Colorado, 10-3, the Mammoth. Who surprisingly, Carlin, it seems like out of nowhere, but they've been playing great all year. The Calgary Roughnecks are in first in the West.
First place, and I called it.
You did.
I called it.
I'll give you that.
But they're only in first just because Colorado was they were sitting at home watching.
Yeah. They were an idle Colorado, and we're going to talk about this team later with John Grant Jr. In better detail. But the Pepsi Center, Carlin, arguably, and at least in the West Division, the most hostile and exciting environment in the league.
I'm lucky you said West Division because a lot of people out here, Toronto would have something to say about that. Buffalo would have something to say
Definitely
about that.
Definitely not the Air Canada Center. Buffalo for sure.
Well, the Air Canada Center, one you get 14,000. They had 14,000 last game.
Yeah, it was entertaining. Still not rabid, though.
No.
You got Buffalo.
No,
they're nasty.
Yeah, Buffalo is a different story.
If you wear a Rock jersey in Buffalo, they'll cut you.
Yeah, well, that's what you're supposed to do when
that's
you have
true.
Visitors show up at your own house.
You get a shank from the Bandits fan. Maybe that's a bit far, but anyway. So into the Pepsi Center in Colorado, this will really be a test for Nick Rose because we know veterans like John Grant Jr., Gavin Prout, and you got the young guns, too. They can find a weakness and pick it apart. The first real test on this Rock team, are they for real? Because this could be a potential championship matchup.
It could be a potential championship matchup, not one that John Grant wants to see, as the Rock have owned him in championship games and playoff games as well. But John Grant leading the league in scoring, 98 points per 43 goals. He's also leading the league in shots on goal, 151 shots. So Rose better be ready to see a lot of balls coming his way.
And one final point on the Mammoth, Rookie of the Month, my pick for Rookie of the Month, Adam Jones, scooping it for March from Kevin Crowley.
Kevin's going to get the Rookie of the Year.
Adam Jones for the second time, Mr. Jones,
Kevin,
getting it done.
Kevin is going to get it. At the end of the day, Kevin is going to get it.
We'll see, my friend. We'll see. Let's move on to the next game, Buffalo.
Let's ask John. Let's ask John what he thinks.
Okay, we'll ask John
and
later.
And Dan, if we could. Come on, say, get him.
Next game, all the games on Saturday this week, by the way, 5-8 Buffalo Bandits heading in to the Edmonton Rush. And this, Carlin, is the game of the week for me. Because you have no two teams, maybe outside of Washington, but no two head-to-head teams who need these wins more. Out of the 9 teams in the league, 8 make it. If you're the one that misses, you're a laughingstock. 5-8 Buffalo versus 4-8 Edmonton.
Man.
Such an important game this
week. 2 weeks ago, who would have thought that we'd be saying game of the week, Buffalo at Edmonton. But you saw them live on Saturday night.
Yep.
Edmonton, they showed.
They have potential.
They have potential. But they're still a young team, still a young squad. Buffalo, we don't know what we're going to get week by week.
No.
They showed up this weekend, looked amazing. 17-7.
Ripped Philly.
Destroyed them and got themselves back into third place where most would have counted them out.
Yeah, and they leapfrogged Rochester, and that's how tight this East Division is. It's just back and forth. Rochester was in second not more than 2 weeks ago, and now they're in the basement, and Buffalo could make a move. They have the weapons to go.
I'm going to go out and say it. I was calling Buffalo out of it, basically out of it a couple of weeks ago, and that's what we do in the media. We overreact to things.
I have still chosen Edmonton to miss the playoffs. They're at home. It will be very interesting to see what Rush team shows up because they do have the young talent. We saw Zach. This is a fast team, Carlin.
Very fast.
I saw them. They are fast. Zach Greer, a lot of hustle. Ryan Ward picked up a hat trick too. And I gotta say this. Aaron Bold, as terrific as he is in
net, well in that.
He was pulled for one shot.
Brody McDonald and he allowed it.
And then he was switched back. But I'll say this: going up to the Foster Hewitt Media Gondola box at the Air Canada Center, on the way underground, I saw Brody McDonald and Aaron Bold walking ahead of me. I didn't know Aaron Bold was in front of Brody McDonald until I passed him. 6'7". I thought I was looking at Hulk Hogan in full equipment. He was monstrous.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
I just had to point that out because it was he's an intimidating individual, not to the Rock players, who scored on him in one shot.
Yeah, you could say all you want. They're only 4-8 on the year. That's not helping them.
No, John Tavares in the Buffalo game. that's what JT does.
Yeah.
8 points. You had guys like Matt Giles step up with 4 goals, and Luke Wiles being the other other key factor along with Tavares scoring. But it's good to see Stainhouse back in the mix too.
Yeah, very good to see him back in the mix. I believe he had a hat trick that game.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
6 points total.
So when you get the whole squad going, and what was important for me to see out of Buffalo, they got good goaltending by Anthony Cosmo, only allowing 7 goals.
Finally, Anthony Cosmo showing why he may be worth those 2 first-round draft picks. And you talk about The Rock getting hot at the right time. If you can get Cosmo going, JT, Wiles, Culp, the gang in Buffalo, hey, they're in third already. Buffalo, Philly's only at 7-7.
They're only 2 games out of first place. Keep that in mind. And only 1.5 games out of second. They can sneak in, steal top spot here if things go well for them.
What a turnaround that would be. Or even second, that would be a huge success.
I think they could only get up to second. They probably lost. Yeah, they lost the series with Toronto. So there's no way they can tie Toronto for first place or anything like that. But
yeah,
the season series they lost to Toronto. But if they're able to steal a home playoff game, no one wants to go to Buffalo playing playoffs.
No, absolutely not. So that's Buffalo 5-8 at Edmonton 4-8. Moving to the other team working for that final playoff position, Washington Stealth, a mighty 4-9 in to Minnesota to face the Swarm 6-7. Minnesota was the first team to stall Philadelphia's goal to clinch a home playoff berth.
Philly just,
they
buckled. Get it done this week.
They buckled.
2 games back-to-back, they lose an upset. I'll call it an upset against Minnesota, and a big win
absolutely
for Minnesota. Huge win for Minnesota.
Well yeah, and we have...
Philly.
Yeah, we've had Ryan Benesch. Andrew Suter, you're welcome. Good luck from the NLL tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
Captain of the Swarm on this program a week ago. With the Swarm, we've talked about the inconsistency of a young team, and Suter addressed it as well. But Evan Kirk, he stood on his head, and he led Minnesota to a 13-9 victory again. That's 2 games in a row, and this is a concern for the Wings, Carlin. They're reverting backwards to that. Remember, Rochester scored the 20-plus goals. 2 games in a row when a team that Philadelphia has Crowley, Dawson, Westervelt, Mundorf, etc., under 10 goals.
But the thing that impressed me when they did allow that 22-goal beatdown is they bounced back the very next week. So we'll like to see what happens this coming week in these games.
They have
they
to
need, well, they're on a bye, but next
Philly's
week,
on the bye.
Next week in those couple of games, we'll see what happens.
And Philadelphia takes on Minnesota after the bye week, so a chance for some revenge with that veteran club.
Finishing that home and home, but they need to stop Tyler Haas.
Tyler Haas. This is what I love from Tyler Haas. He had his quote was, "It's a shocking little bit for me, Haas." He had 2 goals this season coming into Friday, 4 goals and 5 total
points. You can't stop him. You could only hope to contain him.
Can't stop the Haas.
Can't stop him.
So the Minnesota Swarm finding those names. You hear names that you don't commonly think about in the highlight reels, Carlin, and that's how Minnesota has been getting it done all year and getting closer to solidifying that third-place spot, which I'm going to call, I think they're finishing third. Right now with Edmonton and Washington. It's a bold statement, Carl.
You're really going out on the limb.
It's a bold statement.
You're really going out there.
But I'm saying it. For Minnesota 6-7. Washington, what can we say? It's been a weird season. They're coming off of a bye as well. They have the weapons to do it, Carlin.
They have so much talent. It's just disappointing. It is disappointing when you get out there and you look at this team top to bottom on the paper. This team should not be 4-9 on the year.
No, and back-to-back NLL championship appearances. We've brought this up before. Dutch, Ratcliffe, the Nooch.
It doesn't make sense.
Tyler Richards in goal. I'm still waiting for this Stealth club to go on a late run like they did last year, but Carlin, this is week 15. It's a 16-game schedule. They've played 13 games. Time's running out.
It doesn't even matter. If they get into the playoffs, let me tell you something right now. They're not beating Calgary. They are not beating Colorado. I don't care how hot they are.
Yeah.
They're not beating Toronto, and they're not beating Philly.
They need – yeah.
They're not beating anyone in the East. They're not beating anyone in the West.
If Minnesota falters and Washington can somehow leapfrog them, which is still – it's still possible.
Just get the better draft.
That's their only –
Just get the draft pick.
Just get the draft pick.
All right, so Washington at Minnesota. That's going to be interesting. Can Minnesota retain that third-place spot and really put a stranglehold on it and go to 500? Is Washington able to keep pace? And you know they're watching that Buffalo-Edmonton game very, very closely. Final game of the week, the now first place. By a half game, the Calgary Roughnecks have done it and head into Rochester.
Trap game.
5-8.
Trap game.
5-8 Rochester.
This is a trap game for Calgary. This is one of those games where they're going to come in. They're now sitting atop. They're not chasing anymore.
Nope.
They are being chased. And a Rochester team who is sitting at the bottom of the East Division.
All of a sudden at the bottom.
Now has to claw their way back. And even though they're at the bottom of the East, we talked about it for Buffalo, they could still fight and get their way up there and in second place. Possibly
to second.
I don't think that's going to happen, but it could happen.
It could happen. And Philadelphia, they've lost two in a row. There's nothing saying they won't keep sliding. So second place still very much, and a home playoff date, more importantly.
First place, too, is still very much up for grabs.
Well, between Philly and Toronto, who have clinched. But for Calgary, Carlin, John Grant Jr., we're going to ask him how important first place is. Remember, you get first place, and these two teams, they're going to have, whoever finishes first, can have home playoff advantage throughout the playoffs, including the championship game. So, although they don't need the win, I think Calgary is going to be playing their hearts out because they want to finish first. They want to show, hey, we're the man again.
The bottom line is they'd rather play in Calgary than play in Colorado if those two were to meet up in the playoffs.
Well, just imagine this. If Calgary finishes first and Washington squeaks into the playoffs, and Washington haven't eliminated the Roughnecks the last 2 years.
It won't happen this year.
How crazy will that matchup be? Oh, I hope that happens from a fan standpoint. That'd
be
outstanding.
It makes it sexy for us to talk about, yeah. But at the end of the day, unless you're drinking Johnny Walker and coming onto the program, it's not happening.
Well, Rochester at 5-8. Again, you want to talk about weapons. And let's say this. They lost a heartbreaker to Calgary, 15-14. Rochester was in this game.
They showed signs.
The whole way. And
they were
just
down a goal for pretty much the majority of the game.
Yeah.
Goal or two, and just couldn't get over that hump.
Good sign for Rochester. Johnny Paulus. And he was actually, remember, Sean Evans was traded to Calgary from Rochester.
And they picked up Johnny Paulus with that pick.
Yep, and 3 goals, 4 assists. A season high. So Paulus, who's been up and down all year, good to see him back. Cody Jameson, he's always there. But it's one of those scenarios. Calgary knows how to win. Rochester just couldn't get it done.
It always seems as though whenever Calgary plays a team, that the former player of that team,
yep,
always comes out and just shows up and destroys his former team.
Like Junior.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, Sean Evans, 3 goals, 6 assists against his former team. They just seem to always show up and get the job done against their former squad.
Well, absolutely. And Carlin, it is going to be a huge show. So much program left. Who's up next?
So much program left. The great
John
Grant Jr.
J.R.
Jr. Jr. coming on this program. Talk a little Colorado Mammoth. Hopefully he's not busy with that baseball game. Colorado Rockies.
Well, it's a home opener.
Home opener to the whole entire Denver region, probably at that game as we speak. Sace Narayan, our producer, trying ever so hard to get Dan Dawson on the phone. We hope to bring you to him as well. And, of course, fantasy at the end of the program. You are listening to the NLL Tonight on the National Lacrosse League Radio Network.
Hi, this is Reese Dutch from the Washington Stealth, and you are listening to the NLL Tonight.
Back on the NLL Tonight, and we are extremely excited to be joined now by the legendary John Grant Jr. from the Colorado Mammoth. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. We understand you're watching the Colorado Rockies game over some dinner.
Yeah, I guess their home opener game, the whole city basically shuts down, so we're watching it, but they're not doing very well.
Oh, boy. Well, it's good that baseball is back. But let's talk about your spectacular season. John, 98 points. Can you put your finger on or begin to explain why you've been extra dominant this year, because you've had a spectacular career, but extra dominant this year.
Oh, I wouldn't say that I am. I'm on a great team, and the Rooks are putting the ball in net, so it makes my job quite easy. You know, I just go out there and look for an open guy, and these guys are putting it in at a very efficient rate. So, as I said, it makes it a lot easier for me to go out there and kind of try to do what I need to do to help the team. So I'm very fortunate to be on the Mammoth this year.
You mentioned an excellent team. You guys, you have teammates like Gavin Prout. You have teammates like Adam Jones. Talk about what it's been like to play with these type of talented players that's led to an offensive explosion, which you guys have had this season.
Well, I've played with Gavin before, and I think he's one of the dominant players in the game. And, you know, whatever happened a couple years ago, he went to Edmonton, and, you know, just things might not have worked out. But, you know, he's definitely dominant again this year. So I think he's worked real hard in the offseason like we all have. And, you know, he's showing that his game's still there and strong as ever. And what can I say about the Rooks? Yeah, Jones, Link, and Hopkoff, and the rest of the young guys, they're bringing exuberance and enthusiasm to the game that, you know, rubs off on, you know, all the kind of veteran guys. And, you know, we're a close-knit bunch, and we're really enjoying the season right now.
Now, Gavin was on our program a little earlier on this season. We asked him this very same question. We asked him what type of leader he is in the dressing room. He mentioned to us he's not that rah-rah type of guy that's going to get up in front of everybody and have that big grand speech. What type of leader are you when it comes to being in the dressing room, being that leadership body?
Like he says. I mean, he was a captain for a reason. He's a more of a rah-rah guy. I, you know, sometimes to my own fault can be a little, you know, I stick in really inside my own head and inside my own game and really not try to get focused on too much, or I get kind of rattled. But I've worked hard this year on being more vocal, especially with such a young group, to kind of, you know, help mentor these kids. But, you know, I try to my best to be, as a leader, is just to lead by example and, you know, in my play and my effort, and hopefully that rubs off. But it's definitely something that I'm working on this season to try to be more vocal and try to, you know, help mentor these young kids.
We're here with John Grant Jr. from the Colorado Mammoth. John, you had the upper body injury a couple weeks back, missed two games, and still managed to win co-player of the month. First question, are you fully recovered from that injury? It seems like it.
I think I would like to say I am. You know, I might have rushed back a little soon, but I got the confidence from the doctor that I was able to go, and, you know, I got through the weekend unscathed, so that was good. And, you know, we had the week off to spend some more time healing. So, yeah, I'm starting to feel like my upper body injury is a thing of the past.
Well, speaking of the healing process, tell us a bit about your conditioning program. 37 years old, all the young talent pouring into the league, and the game is faster than ever. How do you stay in such good shape during the year and also in the off season?
Well, I don't really have an off season, as you know. I mean, I play, you know, two teams, and every year when the years where I'm representing my country, I play on three teams this summer.
Yeah, true enough.
So that keeps me in pretty good shape, but you know, this year in the fall, I usually take a couple months off, but this year I took 2 weeks off in September, and then I just really, really focused on getting stronger and getting kind of more focused on the real important facets of the game that I needed to improve in my body. And I have a trainer here, Joel Rather, who's, I'd say, probably one of the best in the league. So we focused hard on training around what kind of ailments I do have at my age, and so far so good.
Now, you guys started off on an absolute tear to begin the season, and you were up and head and shoulders above everyone. But Calgary has sneaked back into the picture, so to speak. What do you see out in Calgary that kind of worries you guys, if at all, heading down the stretch?
Well, they're a great team. I mean, I think they're definitely one of the best teams in the league over the past 2 years. They're a powerhouse on offense, and, you know, they got a great pressure D that a lot of teams have trouble with. You know, the goaltending is better than it's ever been with Poulin. I think he's one of the top goalies in the league. And, you know, they had a guy like Sean Evans who's just, you know, just made them even better this year. So they're a tough team. And, like, so, I mean, we're, as far as I'm concerned, we're chasing them right now. And hopefully, you know, if we do get a crack at them in the playoffs, we'll hopefully get out of there with a W.
Is it important for you guys to end up in first place in the West Division?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Pepsi Center is the greatest place to play in the league. And, you know, we don't want to, you know, saying both of our teams make it through the first round and we meet up in the Western Finals. Going to the Saddle Dome is a very tough place to play, and we definitely don't want to end up there. So we're going to do everything we can to get first, but, you know, it might not be in our hands. So we're just trying to play each game like it's a playoff game and do what we need to do and not worry about any other teams.
Well, a couple more questions for you, John, then we'll let you get back to the ball game. Coming up at home this week, you play the red-hot Toronto Rock. Defending champs, they're rolling now. What are some key factors yourself and the team as a whole are looking to shut down specifically on the Rock?
Well, I mean, the Rock's my nemesis since I came into this league. You know, they've knocked me out of the playoffs almost every year, but two. Two of them were championship games. So
yeah.
I obviously don't like playing them. I think they're a great team and a great organization. But, yeah, they're firing right now. Billings looks like he's at the top of his game, and Doyle's starting to, I think, round into form like he always does. And, you know, they're another team that plays that pressure high-pressure defense, which is tough to beat. You know, see how Rose does, and he's still young. But, you know, they've got some offensive firepower on both sides of the floor. So they're going to be a definite big challenge for us this week. So hopefully we can get out of that one with a W as well.
Well, you mentioned Nick Rose, newly acquired in goal. But for the Mammoth, often an unsung hero with all the talent up front for Colorado, has been your goalie, Chris Levis. Talk a bit about his play and what he has meant to Colorado this year.
Well, I mean, he stood on his head for us last year. He was probably our team MVP, and, you know, and we've, you know, strengthened our D this year, and I think we're a lot more athletic than we were last year. But, yeah, Chris has played really steady and well, you know, when we've counted on him. And, you know, any of our losses can be, you know, the fault of the offense not putting the ball in it. So Chris is a wall back there, and we just got to keep focused on making sure we don't give up too many great opportunities, because, like I said, this team this weekend coming up is going to be tough to beat. And, you know, Chris is steady, and he's there when we need him.
If you guys continue to score the way you've been scoring throughout the season, it shouldn't be a problem. 98 points for you, my friend, Mr. John Grant Jr. Maybe Colorado should call you out of the stands, get you up there swinging, give them some offense. They need it.
Yeah, well, I love it here in Denver. You know, I'm calling it home these days, and I just want to focus, and I know the rest of the guys are just trying to get a championship here back in Denver, like they had in 06, and we're going to try each week to do that.
Your team is now 10-3 as you head towards the playoffs. Big game this week against the Toronto Rock. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That is John Grant Jr. of the Colorado Mammoth. His team, 10-3, will be hosting the red-hot Toronto Rock this weekend. We have so much more right here on the LL Tonight. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Colin Doyle, captain of the Toronto Rock, and you're listening to NLL Tonight.
Back on the NLL Tonight, Andy McNamara, Carlin Gay. It is fantasy time. But before that, producer Sakes Narayan has secured Dangerous Dan Dawson for next week. His job is safe.
For one more week.
For another day. Dan Dawson, season leading and NLL record setting in assists. Dan Dawson will be on the show next
Breaking
week.
Breaking his own record.
Breaking his own record. Carlin, let's get to the fantasy time. Your fantasy game. Who is your hot shot pick?
Hot shot pick of the week, Derek Hopcroft.
Who?
Of the Colorado Mammoth. He's only $9. He's going to get you 79 points. That is value. It's value from Value Village. Derek Hopcroft, going to get the job done.
You know, it's a good under-the-radar pick. My hot shot pick for your fantasy roster, Aaron Bold of Edmonton, $18, 184 Edmonton. Points. He is going to rebound against an inconsistent Buffalo club. Aaron Bold, he was furious. He's full of emotion. Despite being dominated, still just allowed 11 goals.
Freezer burn, Nick Kiss by a rose.
Oh, you're still not giving him love.
I'm not giving him love just yet. $12 he's going to cost you.
He's into going Colorado.
Up against Colorado. Ooh. On the road. Big test for him. He's probably going to get lit up.
I had Nick Rose in my fantasy pool last week. He paid off in spades. I'm going to keep the Toronto Rock theme. Stefan LeBlanc, Friesenburn, this year, way overvalued at $21 and only 177 points. Stefan LeBlanc has been ice cold. He's been shut out some games without any points. Against Colorado, stay away from Stefan LeBlanc.
Stay away from Stefan LeBlanc. Special thanks to John Grant Jr. Wow. of the Colorado Mammoth. His team taking on the Toronto Rock. Big game for them this week. Follow Andy on Twitter at AndyMC81. Follow me, Carlin Gay, at Carlin Gay on Twitter. We will see you next week when we have Big Dan Dawson in the house.